So today is the feast of what we used to call Corpus Christi, the body of Christ. And I'd like to address something the Pope brought up in his encyclical on the Eucharist, the last one he wrote, in which he insisted again on the Eucharist as sacrifice. I grew up a little kid, and we always talk about the sacrifice of the Mass. But that's what I want to examine. What does that mean? Because I think that's passed out of usage, and probably it's a good thing. But then the question is, can we retrieve, can we make more sense of the notion of sacrifice? It's complicated by a whole bunch of things. First of all, by the fact that we used to, and probably still do to some extent, radically distinguish the God of the Hebrew Bible from the God of the New Testament. The God of the Hebrew Bible was a vindictive SOB, basically. When you get right down to it, nasty piece of work. You behaved yourself, or it hit you along the side of the head with a 2x4, and then you'd know you were out of line. But the God of Jesus was this sweetheart God, this pussycat God.
You guys doing all right? Good. How nice. You're not doing too good? Well, that's all right. That's all right.
Rubbish! The same God, folks. It's only because of our anti-Semitism that we have so distorted that notion. But that's important for this issue because the notion of sacrifice that we have puts the essence of sacrifice in destruction. And everybody, I suspect, remembers in Lent. What was Lent? Lent's a time we're supposed to sacrifice. Which means what? No chocolate. No movies. No liquor. No sex. Nothing. All the nice, good stuff in life. Forget it for 40 days, and then we pick up where we left off. No is the big word. Destruction. Destruction. The elimination. The word sacrifice, and that, of course, gives us all kinds of ideas. What kind of God enjoys that kind of stuff? The more miserable you are, the happier I am. And I don't think that's all that far-fetched. Okay, what does sacrifice mean? The word itself simply means to make holy. To make holy. So I want to juxtapose this earlier, primitive, and terribly mistaken notion of sacrifice that we Christians have entertained over against the Jews with what is a more authentic understanding of sacrifice. Okay, how do you make something holy? By totally removing it from the possibility of human usage, because we humans are, you know, irresponsible, careless lot. And so if you give something up, if you break it, if you destroy it, then it's only God, and then God's happy. And we're bereft, of course. But that's made it holy. Because that means it's totally God's. It's totally God's. I busted it, and it went Godward somehow. And that's what made it holy. There's nothing in the Hebrew Bible that substantiates that understanding of things. And in the New Testament, there's very little. I mean, the data is extraordinarily scant even to talk about Jesus' death as sacrificial. But of course, then we can apply all this terribly mistaken notion of sacrifice. Jesus made God happy because he destroyed his own life, or his own life got destroyed. Then God was tickled and said, okay, now we're back to square one. The point of sacrifice is not destruction. The point of sacrifice is not this bifurcation of reality into what's God's, which is all the good stuff, and what's ours, which is all the rotten stuff. Something is not made holy in that scheme.
Sacrifice, in its earliest understanding in the Hebrew Bible and in the New Testament, means what? The union of God and people. What's to be made holy? Some dead cow reduced to ashes? Or Jesus, all bloodied, dead on the cross? What is holy is precisely our intimacy with the divine, with God. And that's the only thing that constitutes holiness. In other words, you don't have this vindictive, nasty God making these impossible demands. You have the same God in the Hebrew Bible that we have in the God of Jesus, the God whom that lovely Francis Thompson poem has been described as the hound of heaven, pursuing us, endlessly pursuing us, endlessly seeking, not to destroy, but to share. So as I said last week in Trinity Sunday, what is the divine? The divine is nothing but sheer generosity. Sheer intimacy. Total sharing. And that's what we're called to. Well, how does that work? Even if you take this thing that was read from the Hebrew Bible today, the spreading of blood. So you've got blood on the altar, that's God's part, but blood on us. Blood is life. Blood for the Jews is a great metaphor for life. But we gave that life to God and gave that life to us, then necessarily there's going to be some kind of communion. We're unified in a common life. And you look at every other instance of sacrifice, his point is not the destruction, but somehow it is a strategy, a mechanism, if you will, an instrumentality to bring us together with God. In other words, if there is some destruction, it is not for the sake of destruction. But even if you took, you know, to go back to the Hebrew Bible, okay, what happened after the sacrifice? Okay, then they cooked the cow or sheep. And then they had a common meal. The people ate part of the cow, and God had the other part, and so they had a common meal. And life was shared, and people were brought together with God and with each other. It is to bring us together. Because this is the central direction, significance, meaning of Jesus' idea of God, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob's idea of God. That we be brought together. And so that's why they will talk about the sacrifice of the mass, you know. It's not that good old dead Jesus. And we got good old dead Jesus and somehow all the debts are paid, we're all home free, you know. Now we start all over again. Mm-mm. No. The gesture that the Christian movement came to see in Jesus, and what was in Jesus' mind at the Last Supper, I have not a clue, nor does anybody else, and nobody was there. But I understand the impulse in Jesus kind of metaphorizing, making a metaphor of his whole life by the absolute basic element of shared life, which is a common meal. I want to be with you. I want to be with you. This is my body. The Jews didn't have a word for body, by the way, except corpse. When they said body,
they meant their entire human reality. This is all I am for you, with you. And blood, too, for a good Jew, was life. This is my blood. This is my life with you. Again, if you come down to the same thing, it is the sharing of life. Communion. Communion is the right word. It's not this total, hermetically separate notion of sacrifice and then communion. No, no, no. You can't have one without the other. One brings about the other. Sacrifice. We are made holy because you're brought into intimacy with God. And that's supposed to be what the Mass is about. That's supposed to be what the whole Christian life is about. Only in the Mass you have this act, as one writer has put it, it's like sex between a husband and wife who really love each other. That's the culminating moment. And we should not be scandalized by that, because all you have to do is read the Song of Songs in the Hebrew Bible, where the relationship between God and Israel early on came to be seen as this notion of sexual intimacy. The greatest possible shared life, in other words. So, how do you get rid of this vindictive God? I don't know. We live in a world where this vindictive God still seems to be operating in the minds of a whole bunch of people. But it's certainly incumbent on us that now we have to get beyond that sort of infantile understanding that mom's going to spank me if she finds out I stole those cookies. That's all right for a three-year-old. Well, I'm not even so sure it's right for a three-year-old. It should not be right for us.